Everybody good?
We're good.
All right. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. I apologize for the smoke. I apologize in advance if the smoke affects my voice. Then it'll be a really short sermon. Don't pray for that, but let's just hope that that doesn't happen. All right. We're so glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for choosing to be with us. And so hopefully when you came in as a guest, you received a welcome packet. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. And inside that welcome packet, if you have one, is a little card. And if you'll just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or leave it on the information table, that would be very helpful to all of us. And hopefully everybody received the bulletin. So let's take it out and let's kind of check out some of the things that are going on and have been going on. So right after the morning service, we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday school for the kids all the way up through the adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we're going to start getting into some of the issues of today. And what does the Bible have to say about some of those things that we're hearing in the news, that we're putting up with as part of living in this culture? And so it'll be very informative. So I would encourage you, if you haven't been staying for Sunday school, to stay and join us for Sunday school. Monday, we have ladies' Bible study here at the church. This is open to all of the ladies. And so if you have the time available to be able to come, that would be a great thing. Wednesday, we have our Joy Lunch at Black Bear Diner. For those of you who don't know what Joy means, Joy stands for Just Older Youth. But you don't have to be old in order to come to lunch or to come to our Joy Bible study. If you have the time available, we want you to come and join us. When we have lunch, we have a great time. And when we have Bible study, we have a great time as well. Thursday night is our Awana night, and it's camouflage night. So we're going to lose all of the kids that are wearing camouflage. So I hope we'll be able to find them at the end of Awana. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be fun. The kids will really enjoy that. So next week, we will be doing communion. So that means we will also be doing our benevolence fund. So this is a change in our schedule. We usually do communion the last Sunday of the month, but we're changing it because it's going to fit better with the sermon for next Sunday than it would for the following Sunday. So just make sure that you're apprised of that change. And then, let's see. Oh, yesterday, if you missed the chili cook-off, you missed a great time, men. We had a lot of good chili. We had a lot of good time. We had a lot of just special things. And the winner of the chili cook-off is none other than Chili Master Paul Henning. So, Paul, just kind of raise your hand, all right? Okay? So you can see all of the participants, and they named their chili all these fancy names, like Roadkill Chili. And it was a great time. So if you missed it, make sure that when we say we're going to have another one, that you put it on your calendar and come and join us. It was just a great time. Ladies, there's an announcement in there for you as well. So hopefully you all received the bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out, because there's lots of good information in there for you to be able to know. Are you ready to sing? Ready to lift your voices and your hearts in praise to the Lord? Isn't that why we came?
Amen.
To be able to give God honor and glory, because he's the only one who deserves it. All right, let's go.
Today we're going to actually just kick back and relax in the Lord. We're going to relax in the Spirit. Kick on back. Would you join me as we sing to our Heavenly Father? He loves us. He loves us. I hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful today for that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we carry shame and regret that you do not hold us accountable for. Lord, would we be able today to let the chains of shame fall to the ground? Lord, that our hearts would be free to worship you for who you are, not for the shame that we carry, but for who you are. Lord, we love you today. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Just the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. just the sheep of his hand. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride. Free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. God is good, amen. And he is worthy of our praise. I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship, you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Yes, you are worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeah, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Come on, lift up just your voices. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, you deserve all the glory today in this place. From each one of us, you deserve all glory. Lord, that's why we praise you. That's why we worship, because you're good, because you're amazing, you're faithful, you're wonderful, you are glorious. And you deserve all the glory from us. Lord, as we look to you, our source of strength, our source of hope, God, would you fill us today? Lord, would you fill us with your word? Would you fill us with your spirit as we crack open the Bible in a few minutes, as we go through Sunday school and just look to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, would you fill us today? We're here for you. We love you. Amen. Whew. God is good. It's exciting. We're going to take this morning's offering real quick. If you're visiting with us, don't feel obligated to give, but give because you want to worship. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen.
So, class, what does forever mean? A long time. Forever, right? So the last two sermons, I've talked about the fact that when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we're given this gift called everlasting life. What does everlasting mean? Forever. Everlasting. So if you are a believer in Jesus this morning, do you have everlasting life? Do you understand what a precious gift that is? Do you realize that that everlasting life in heaven with God and with his Son and with those who have believed in Jesus as Savior and have gone on before us is something that can never be taken away from us? Remember, I gave you the example either last week or a couple weeks ago. I'm getting old, so my memory isn't what it is. I have a broken rememberer. But remember, I gave you that example. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are placed in Jesus' hand. And he said, nothing can snatch us out of his hand. And then the Father comes alongside Jesus and places his hand over Jesus' hand. And Jesus says, and no one or nothing can ever take you out of the Father's hand. If we can be taken out of that hand, either by us or by someone else or something else, is our eternal life really eternal? No. No. 100 times, 1,000,000 times, no. As believers in Jesus as Savior, we have this wonderful gift that can never be taken away from us. And then somebody said to me, so Pastor, if it can't ever be taken back, can I give it back to God? The answer is no. You can't. You can't. The only thing you can do with it is enjoy it. For how long? Forever. All right, children, come on up. That's not even the sermon this morning. I won't even charge you extra for that today. No, you're not. Only if you're one of these size that can you be dismissed to children's church. Father, we are just so grateful for the reminder as we've sang these praises to you this morning. For the little bit that we've been able to be reminded of, that when we believe in you as Savior, and it doesn't matter if we're a little one or a big one, when we believe in you as Savior, you give to us this wonderful, amazing gift called everlasting life. And Father, it's everlasting because no one can take it away from us. It's everlasting because we can't even do anything to get rid of it ourselves. Father, it's because of your grace. It's because of your mercy. It's because of your love that we have that. Father, as we open up your word this morning, may we be reminded once again of your love, your mercy, and your grace to every single one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 25. So I know that we've been looking at a lot of the pieces of furniture within the tabernacle. And today we're going to look at the very first piece of furniture that was given or instructed by God, given those instructions to Moses. Now you say, why did you wait this long? Well, because we had to talk about the outer court. We had to talk about once you go through the door, if you are a priest, because a regular person could not go into the tabernacle. Once you went through the door of the tabernacle, you came into the holy place. And then once you went beyond the veil, you went into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And this piece of furniture, even though it was the first piece of furniture built, the first piece of furniture given as instructions by God to Moses, you don't get to this piece of furniture as a priest until you go beyond the veil. And then there it is, just on the other side of the veil. And it's called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, God chose three arks to reveal his will for mankind. One of those arks is very, very familiar to us. The first ark mentioned in the Bible is the Ark of Noah. You ever heard of it? And we see that in Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 9. And this ark was made of gopher wood. Remember that? Pitched within and without. And we learn through it that God wants to save mankind. And I've had the privilege of being able to go to Kentucky to the Answers in Genesis, where they have built this replica of this of Noah's Ark. And they built it according to the biblical instructions. And the thing is massive. The thing is huge. It is beyond imagination. And if you ever have an opportunity to be able to go, I know several in our church have been able to go and see this thing. It is impressive. It is amazing. And so it's great. But in that ark, animals were saved and 8 people survived to repopulate and care for the earth. And through that ark, God was showing that he had a plan to redeem mankind from their sin. The second ark that's mentioned in the Old Testament is the ark prepared for baby Moses. And we talked about that way back when we started our study in the book of Exodus. Maybe some of you remember that because you're rememberers aren't as broken as mine are. But we will call this, for lack of a better way to describe it, the Ark of Moses. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 2. This ark was made of reeds and was pitched within and without with tar, kind of like substance put around it, just like Noah's ark. And here too, we see that the ark was a means of preservation for the baby Moses from the sentence of death. Remember the reason why Moses' mother wanted him protected was because Pharaoh had sent out a decree that all of the Hebrew male babies, age 2 and under, had to be what? Drowned in the Nile River. They had to be put to death. And so Moses' mother decided that, you know, that's not a really good option. And so she decided to be able to make this ark and then float him down the River Nile. And remember who found him? Pharaoh's daughter. And then she took, after the weaning process was completed, she took Moses and brought him into the palace of Pharaoh and tried to raise him as an Egyptian. But Moses never really embraced the religion. He never really embraced totally the culture of Egypt. And so when he got to be older, God was able to use his Israelite heritage to be able to have Moses become the leader of the Israelites to what? Guide them and to lead them out of slavery in Egypt. And remember, they had been in Egypt for how long? 400 years when God called Moses to lead them out. And then the third ark is what we're going to be looking at today. The third ark referred to in the Bible is the Ark of the Covenant. But this ark carried more meaning than the arks of Noah and Moses. So we've already talked about the fact that this was the first piece of furniture built for the tabernacle. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 25. Follow along as I read verses 10 through 22. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits. Now remember, a cubit is 18 inches. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it. And you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, two rings on the one side of it and two rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the arks in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work shall you make them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And so we'll look at verse 22. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in the commandment for the people of Israel. This was quite a piece of furniture, this ark. And I think Jeremy might have a picture of it. Yep, right there. You also have that same picture on the front of your bulletin. So let's take a few moments and let's talk about this ark. And let's first talk about the construction of the ark. Now, the ark was given to lead the Israelites. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant was so important that it went first when the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness. So remember, God had given them his presence in the form of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? You all know that? You all remember that? And so whenever the cloud or whenever the pillar of fire started to move, they had to take down the tabernacle. They had to get everything ready. And then they had to take and carry the furniture, and they had to carry the tabernacle until the cloud stopped or until the pillar of fire stopped. And then they would have to put it all back up again in order to be able to have that place of worship. As they tore everything down, as they disassembled the tabernacle, as they got all of the pieces of the furniture, the only piece of furniture that was to be carried in the front of the nation of Israel being led through the wilderness was the Ark of the Covenant. How important of a piece of furniture is this? Okay, that led the nation of Israel through the wilderness. How long were they in the wilderness? 40 years. A long time to be carrying this tabernacle and all of the pieces of furniture and being led by the Ark of the Covenant. As they entered back into the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, the priest who carried it stepped into the Jordan River first. And remember, the waters parted and the Israelites followed on dry land. Remember that? God was bringing them. But nobody could cross the Jordan River until first the Ark of the Covenant, what? Went first, went ahead of them. When they marched around Jericho, it was the ark first, then the people, and then the walls fell down. We see that in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. Remember the battle of Jericho? Wasn't really much of a battle. Remember the Israelites marched around one day, then the second day one time, then the third day one time, the fourth day one time, the fifth day one time, the sixth day one time. Then on the Sabbath day, right, they marched around how many times? 7 times, all following the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And once they made that seventh lap around the walls of Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. Isn't that a song? I think so. Anyway, all right. Now, the one time that the Israelites presumed to go anywhere without the ark, they were going into a battle, and they didn't take the Ark of the Covenant with them, they were totally defeated. We find that in Numbers chapter 14. Why? Simple. They didn't put God first. As a believer, Have you ever gone through your day and you faced a spiritual defeat? Why? Probably because you didn't put God first. Probably because you just woke up in the morning because the alarm went off and you jumped out of bed and you did your morning routine and you got dressed and then boom, you headed out to tackle the day. But you didn't even pray. You didn't even think about God. You thought about all of the things that were ahead of you in the course of your day. And then Satan comes along and he brings temptation and he brings sin into your life. And you fall. Why? Because you didn't put God first. I think last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, where in Ephesians chapter 6, through Paul's writing, God gives us a spiritual armor that he desires for every single one of us to put on. To put on in the battle. The battle what? Between us and the wiles and the schemes of Satan. He's given us the opportunity for us to what? To be protected. But how many of us, we just wake up and we head into our day and we're not prepared for the spiritual battle that is waiting for us? Now, I'm not saying every day there's a spiritual battle, but I'm here to say that if you don't put God first, you're just asking for that spiritual battle to come your way. Some of you might be going, whoa, Pastor, there's some things that are wrong in my life that I just haven't been able to get victory for, and I really haven't been able to figure it out. Here, figure it out. It's because you're not putting God first. Now, that's what God instructed the Israelites through the leading of the Israelites by the Ark of the Covenant. God was saying to them, no matter what it is that you are doing, whether you're traveling or whether you're staying put, whether you're doing the normal activities of the day or whether you're waiting for me to show you the next pit stop, the next place for you to be able to rest, the next place for you to be able to camp, the next place for you to be able to get nourishment, no matter what it is, put me first. Is that too hard for us to understand? Is that too hard for us to grasp? I hope not. They lost this battle, the Israelites did. Why? Because they left the Ark of the Covenant. By leaving the Ark of the Covenant behind, they left God behind. Don't do that. Don't ever, ever do that. Everything else in the tabernacle was secondary to the Ark of the Covenant. If the Ark of God's presence was removed from the tabernacle, all that would remain would be an empty tent. Bearing a resemblance of God, but without his presence. You know, the Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is not yours, because it has been bought with a price? What was that price? Jesus dying on the cross for you. So therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. When we leave God behind, are we glorifying God in our body? No. When we're rushing into our day, are we glorifying God? No. When we're leaving him behind, are we glorifying him? No. Without the presence of God above the ark and on the mercy seat, all the responsibilities and ceremonies of the priests were meaningless and powerless. A church that exists without the presence and anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the walls. I'm talking about the people. A church that exists without the presence and anointing power of the Holy Spirit is nothing more than an empty shell. Having a form, but no power. We need the presence of God within these walls, in this pulpit, in every classroom, or we are nothing more than an empty shell. Let's not be the group of people that God has called together to be Lake Hazel Bible Church. Let's not be that group of people that leaves God behind. Let's carry him with us. Let's follow his guidance. Let's glory and honor him with everything that we are and everything that we have. Now, the ark was to be made of acacia wood. just like a lot of the other pieces of furniture in their tabernacle. And remember, acacia wood was a hard, durable wood, resistant to weather and insects, a wood that would not decay or become corrupted by the elements of the world. Sound familiar? Are we able to be corrupted by the elements of the world? Yeah. Even as believers who have everlasting life? Yes, we are. Just like the other pieces of the furniture within the tabernacle, it was also overlaid with pure gold within and without, and it was to have a gold crown molding around the rim. Now remember, gold represents deity. Wood, on the other hand, speaks to us of humanity. So we have a blending of the two materials into one ark. This is a great picture of the two natures in one person, has seen in Jesus, God come in the flesh, Emmanuel. You know, Christmas is coming, even though our weather doesn't show us that fall is here. Christmas is coming, and that's the time when we celebrate what? God come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. Now, several items in the tabernacle had crowns: the golden altar of incense, the table of showbread, the turban of the high priest, as we saw last week, and now as we look at the Ark of the Covenant. A crown speaks of majesty and honor. The crown of gold tells us how the Father honors his Son. When the Son of God was headed to the cross, man crowned him with thorns, but God crowned him with glory and honor so that he could be your Savior. The ark was to have four gold rings attached to its four lower corners at the base of the ark. It had to have two strong poles made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. The poles were to be slid into the gold rings on the ark for the purpose of carrying it. And once they were put into the rings, they were never to be removed. The poles were to be put through the rings so that the ark could be carried on the shoulders of the priest without them actually touching the ark itself. The poles were to remain in the rings of the ark, which pictured an earthly pilgrimage and an unsettled ark. The poles remained in the ark until it was placed in Solomon's temple, where the ark was finally set in a permanent home. We see this in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 8. You see, this is a reminder to us that God needs to have what? A permanent place in our hearts and in our lives. You see, worship doesn't just take place. Praise doesn't just take place Sunday morning. Because God is always with us, we can praise him. We can praise him in our homes. We can praise him in our cars. We can praise him while we're driving. We can praise him at work. We can praise him. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't that great to know? Because his presence is ever with us. His presence ought to be settled in us. And we should never leave him behind. This was meaningful for the Israelites and showed them that the wilderness wanderings and their journey was over. They had come back home. Let me remind you this morning, if you've wandered away from God, if you have let the elements of the world, if you have let the ideologies of the world, if you've let sin come in and roost and take a place in your heart and in your life, you can leave that behind. And God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to come back home. Come back home. Don't go another moment. Don't go another day without coming back home. You see, this also speaks to us of the fact that we who believe in Jesus as Savior are pilgrims and strangers traveling through a foreign land. This world is not our home. We have what? Everlasting life. And that everlasting life is going to be enjoyed where? In a place called heaven. Heaven, for us as believers, will be home. I'm looking forward to that. Are you? We're like Abraham, who is looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Let's spend a few moments and let's talk about the placement of the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place in the tabernacle. And remember, the area of the Holy of Holies measured 10 by 10 by 10. It was four square, complete in its dimension, just as was the altar of sacrifice, the altar of incense, and as we saw last week, the breastplate of righteousness on the high priest. Now, here's something interesting that caught my attention. 10 by 10 by 10 equals what? 1,000, which reminds us of the millennial reign of Jesus here on earth. Someday, Jesus is going to reign on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us as believers, we will have a part if we are the trustworthy disciples that he desires for us to be. We will have a part in his reigning during that 1,000 years. Now, we don't know what all that looks like, but we do know that that's waiting for us as believers who are trustworthy disciples. Let's spend some time talking about the contents of the ark. There were three separate items placed in the Ark of the Covenant: a golden container of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the Ten Commandments, known as God's law. Now, each of these articles tell us something of the nature and the nature of Jesus and his ministry. So let's talk about the tablets of law. Now, remember that in Israel, there were three aspects of the law. First, there was the moral law. This was the Ten Commandments, which were written on the tablets of stone. And this law was given to Israel three times. It was given orally to the nation of Israel as they gathered at Sinai. Later, it was written by the finger of God on two tablets of stone. We see that in Exodus chapter 31 and Exodus chapter 32. Now, remember, the first set of stone tablets were broken by Moses when the Israelites, what? Made the golden calf and worshipped it as an idol. Remember after that incident of the nation of Israel making that golden calf? Well, actually, the golden calf just made itself. Because remember when Moses confronted Aaron, Aaron said, well, we just put all of the gold in the fire and out came this calf. Did he think that Moses was not smart enough to figure that out? That wasn't the way that it happened? No, they built the golden calf. And they worshiped up as an idol. And after that, that's when God said, okay, you need something to remind you of what proper worship is. All right, I'm gonna help you build a tabernacle. And you're going to have to erect this tabernacle and take it down every time the pillar of fire or the cloud by day moves. You want a permanent place to remind you of worship? Here it is. You want a structure so that you don't get involved in this kind of idol worship again? Here you go. So God gave them the tabernacle. God then had Moses carve out two new tablets of stone with the law on them. And then when the Ark of the Covenant was finished, Moses was instructed to place the tablets in the ark beneath the mercy seat. And by the way, next week, we're going to be looking at the mercy seat, which sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Not only was there the moral law, there was the civil law. And this is commonly referred to as the Book of the Law of Moses. These laws were an amplification of the moral law and was applied to specific situations. And there was over 600 of these civil laws that the nation of Israel had to follow. These laws were given so that the Israelites could evaluate how they were living before God and before others. These laws were written in a book and then they were placed beside the ark. Not inside the ark. That was for the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. This civil law was written down, and then it was placed beside the ark. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 24 through 26. When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. So every time the priest ministered in, or the high priest ministered in the Holy of Holies, they would walk by this Ark of the Covenant and they would see that book of the law. And then they would be the ones responsible for, as they weren't doing their priestly duties, to remind the nation of Israel what it is that God required of them, what God expected of them to be the disciples that God wanted them to be. You see, we don't have to have that. We have God's word. We can study it. We can open it. We can carry it with us. God has given us everything that he has for us to be able to be the trustworthy disciples that he desires for us to be once we believe in Jesus as Savior. We have it written down for us. We have it at our disposal. You don't need me necessarily to be able to tell you what it is that God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit can guide you into that. The Holy Spirit can lead you into that. But you got to be in God's word, not just on Sunday morning, but all throughout the rest of the week. Then there was the ceremonial law. And these laws were given to teach the grace of God. It contained all the regulations for the acceptable sacrificial offerings, the priesthood, the sanctuary service, and the feast. We see that in Exodus chapter 25 all the way through chapter 40. The book of Leviticus covers these ceremonies in greater detail. All the law was perfectly kept and fulfilled in one person, Jesus. He's the one and only person who has ever kept the law. Jesus fulfills the moral, the civil, and ceremonial law, and at the cross, he abolishes the ceremonial law. For he is the ultimate expression of the grace of God. When his body was broken and his blood was shed, when he became the propitiation of our sin once and for all. The stone tablets in the ark remind us that Jesus has provided for our iniquity. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We had a great discussion of this last Wednesday in our Joy Bible study as we've been going through the book of Romans. All have sinned. Are you part of the all? Am I part of the all? Now, wait a minute. Don't be so quick to answer. I'm the pastor. What do you mean I'm part of the all? I'm just as much a part of the all as anybody else. We have all sinned and come short of God's glory. Jesus provided for our sin by doing what we could not do. This brought him to the place to die for our sins. And remember, he died for sins. He paid for sins that he himself never committed. Also inside the Ark of the Covenant was the golden container of manna. Now remember, manna was the bread from heaven, which the Israelites ate every day for 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine eating the same thing for 40 days? Yesterday we had some really delicious chili here. I can't imagine eating chili for the next 40 years. Every single day. Couldn't do that. Okay? But they ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness. And remember, manna is named after the first impression that the people of Israel had when they saw it on the ground. They saw this on the ground and they looked at it and they went, manna? Because in Hebrew, manna means what is it? No, that's what they were saying. What is this? What is this that's all over the ground? It's not snow. It's not rain. It's not dew. Oh, God sent this. And this manna was a picture of Jesus, the bread of life. It symbolized the nature, character, and sustaining power of Jesus as the bread of life. And then there was Aaron's rod that budded. In Numbers chapter 16, we're given this narrative about a rebellion of a fellow named Korah against Aaron. And God commanded Moses to take 12 rods for the 12 tribes and to write their names on them. And Aaron had a rod with his name on it, and that rod represented the tribe of Levi. And Moses laid these rods in the presence of God in front of the Ark of the Covenant. In the morning, Aaron's rod was seen to have a bud, a flower, and almonds. This powerful demonstration through Aaron's rod proved that Aaron was the God-chosen, God-anointed and God-appointed high priest in Israel. This also showed that the resurrection of Jesus' death to life speaks of his eternal priesthood. In Aaron's rod, life came out of death. in the resurrection of Jesus, our great high priest, the only mediator between God and man also rises out of death. And he, because of that, is the only way of approach for man to God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We've been talking about this tabernacle. We've been looking at the tabernacle. We've been looking at the structure. We've been looking at the pieces of furniture and how every one of those components of the tabernacle point to Jesus. Point to Jesus coming someday to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who comes to be the propitiation, the satisfaction that God required for the payment of mankind's sin, how he came to be the Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? So the Ark of the Covenant was the most important piece of furniture built for the tabernacle, and God had so much to teach us in using this Ark of the Covenant. Now, with the Ark of the Covenant, the power of God was displayed. The Ark of the Covenant showed us that with God, we are safe and secure. Secure because we have what? Everlasting life. And that we can surrender as his disciples to the authority of God and to the authority of his word. Father, I want to thank you for all of the things that you've taught us in all of the pieces of the tabernacle, of all of the components of the tabernacle. But Father, especially what you've taught us this morning as we've looked into the Ark of the Covenant. Father, I pray that we will follow you. Father, that we will not run ahead of you. Father, that we will not leave you behind. But Father, we will let you lead us and guide us. Until that time, as we talked about last week, where we are able to be able to go beyond the veil of this flesh and to be able to truly enjoy that everlasting life that has been given to us as a gift because we've come to believe you in you as Savior. We've come to believe in Jesus and what he's done for us on that cross. That his blood was shed, his body was broken, so that we could claim him as Savior, so that we could believe in him as Savior, so that we could know that we have that wonderful gift of eternal life and that we will be in that place called heaven with you forever and ever and ever. Father, thank you for what you have taught us. Father, may every day as we wake up, may we have our thoughts, may we have our lives set in a place that we remember you, that we set out to give you honor and glory with our hearts and our lives and all that we are. Father, may every day we say yes to you and no to the things of the world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, you got to sit down earlier. Now you got to stand up for this last song. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.